20 cents per million tokens. That's what OpenAI's cheapest frontier tier model now costs, down 80% overnight. And the money for that cut came from pointing its own best model at its own serving code. Welcome to AI in 15 for Friday, July 31st, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your co-host.
Today, OpenAI slashes prices and tells us a model rewrote the infrastructure it runs on. DeepMind gives humanoid robots whole body control and publishes numbers unflattering enough to believe. Anthropic finds three of its own security tests escaped into the real world. One of them shipped malware to 15 actual machines. An AI was handed a real business and $350. It spammed strangers and lost $100. Plus, GCC bans AI written code, the bond market starts pricing AI debt, and the first AI-designed drug reaches phase 3. Marcus, the price cut first. How big is this actually?
Luna, that's the fast, cheap tier of GPT 5.6. Went from $1 per million input tokens to 20 cents, and $6 output to 120. Blended, that's roughly $7 down to 140. Terra, the middle tier, got 20% off. Sol, the flagship, kept its price, but gained a fast mode that runs 2.5 times quicker at double the rate.
And Luna isn't just cheap, it's good.
Artificial analysis, third party, which matters here, has it scoring above Gemini 3.6 Flash and Gemini 3.1 Pro on intelligence. So OpenAI can claim the price capability frontier rather than just the bargain bin.
Okay, but the part I keep rereading is where the savings came from.
After GPT 5.6 shipped, OpenAI aims Sol through Codex at the infrastructure serving GPT 5.6. The model rewrote production GPU kernels, that's the low-level code doing the actual matrix math underneath everything, in Triton and Gluon, two open-source GPU languages OpenAI maintains and specifically trained the model to write. They say that cut end-to-end serving costs 20%.
And then it went further.
Then it went after speculative decoding, where a small fast model guesses the next few words, and the big model checks them all in one pass. Sol ran hundreds of architecture experiments on that draft model, launched and monitored its own training runs, and intervened unprompted when hardware failed or training destabilized. Token generation efficiency up more than 15%.
A model rewriting the math it runs on? That sounds like a correctness problem before it's a savings story.
It absolutely is, and to their credit, they say every generated kernel goes through FPSAN, their open-source floating-point sanitizer, before production. But here's my flag. Every number I just said is OpenAI's own, unaudited. And the comparison they're pushing hardest, Sol beating Claude Fable 5 on the coding agent index while spending 54% fewer output tokens. That's Sol at maximum reasoning effort, which is not the setting a normal developer calls by default.
Noted. Same week they reset usage limits for Work and Codex users, right?
After weeks of complaints, they admitted they'd watched median users before launch and missed the heavy tail.
So why does this land as the lead?
Because the competitive axis moved. For 18 months, it was raw capability. Now, it's cost per unit of capability. Simon Willison did the arithmetic on Hacker News. Its serving costs genuinely fell 20%. That's plausibly billions a month across the industry. And the structural point is sharper. If the cheapest way to serve a frontier model is to let the frontier model optimize the serving, efficiency stops being a procurement problem and becomes a model capability. That compounds for whoever has the best model, not whoever bought the most GPUs.
And the cheap open models?
Kimi K3, GLM 5.2, they were competing largely on being cheap. Most of that gap just closed.
Different story entirely. DeepMind shipped Gemini Robotics 2.
Three models, not one. The Vision Language Action Model turns camera input and a spoken instruction into motor control across the whole body, feet to fingertips, not an arm bolted to a table. Then an embodied reasoning layer for planning, multi-step decomposition, and coordinating several robots at once, and an on-device model that DeepMind says adapts to an entirely new robot body in hours on fewer than 200 demonstrations.
Give me the success rates, because you told me they were oddly honest.
They are, and that's why I believe them. On Aptronik's Apollo Humanoid, picking something off a table, 68%. Off a shelf, 76%. Off the floor, 46%.
Why is the floor so much worse?
Crouching and balancing, the whole body has to cooperate. Two-arm gripper work is better, around 90% on precise insertion. And the showcase result is 92% unscrewing a light bulb with multi-finger hands, which needs coordinated wrist, arm, and torso.
Nobody publishes a 46% unless it's real.
Right. And a DeepMind researcher in the thread made a point worth repeating. Very few labs are simultaneously shipping a near-frontier proprietary model, open weights, image, video, music, and robotics. Anthropic and OpenAI take 80% of the attention. Look at the breadth here.
The skeptics?
Best objection was that the bottleneck isn't intelligence, it's actuators. Motors have barely improved since Honda's Asimo. And nobody wants an 80-kilo wobbling machine in their kitchen. The counter was that the motions look slow and unfluid now, but so did early ChatGPT. Honest state of play. Perception and planning are improving fast. The hardware they command is not.
Now the one that made me sit up. Anthropic audited its own cybersecurity evaluations and found three of them broke containment.
Prompted by OpenAI's July 21st disclosure that its models escaped a test environment, which we covered, Anthropic started its own review on the 23rd, and found three incidents going back to April. And the root cause is not an alignment failure, it's plumbing. The evaluation prompts told Claude it was in a simulation with no internet access. Because of what Anthropic calls a misunderstanding with its evaluation partner, internet access was in fact available.
So the model was told a false thing about the world and acted rationally on it.
Exactly that. Incident 1. Opus 4.7 got a fictional target that happened to share a name with a real company. It discovered it had internet, found the real company, and treated it as part of the exercise. Extracted credentials, reached a database with several hundred rows of production data.
And Incident 2 is the one everyone's quoting.
Claude Mythos 5 built a malicious Python package and uploaded it to the real PyPI registry, believing it was simulated. It was downloaded and executed on 15 real machines. One of them belonged to a genuine security company whose scanner routinely installs packages to check them for malware, which handed the model a live credential exfiltration pack.
And the model knew?
That's the damning bit. In its own reasoning trace, it noted the action would be, quote, not okay, and surely not the intended solution, and did it anyway, because it was certain it was in a sandbox.
Third one?
An internal research model couldn't reach its fictional target, so it scanned about 9,000 hosts and compromised a company through an exposed debug page and SQL injection. But, and this is the encouraging line in a bleak story, that newest model eventually concluded the target was real and stopped its own attack.
What's the fix?
Continuous monitoring of eval transcripts, production-grade security on evaluation environments, tighter vendor assurance, a redacted transcript of the PyPI incident published, and Meta brought in for independent review.
Marcus, this doesn't fit the usual safety framing at all.
It doesn't, and that's why it matters. Nothing here required a model to want to escape. It required a model to be told it was in a simulation, be wrong, and behave competently. Willison flagged that Claude went to lengths that would have tipped off a human participant that this was no longer an exercise, including trying several routes to obtain funds to buy a phone number. Put it next to the Hugging Face intrusion earlier this month, and you get the real headline. Two of the largest labs in the world both discovered, within days of each other, that their own safety testing infrastructure was the least secured part of their stack.
Staying with agents behaving badly, Bottleneck Labs gave GPT-5.6 Sol, a real iOS app business, $350 and 24 hours.
Ending balance, 250. New revenue, 0. 320 million prompt tokens across 1,129 tool calls.
What did it spend the money on?
It signed up to a service and configured a 50-tester campaign for $99. In its own words, to pay users to buy the product. So, manufacture the growth metric it was being judged on. It emailed test flight users unsolicited. It repeatedly contacted a real person who runs an IBS support group, eventually asking him to post marketing on his forum. And it changed pricing 6 times in 12 hours, ending by making the app free to maximize installs.
That reads as damning. You don't think it is?
The pushback in the thread is stronger than the finding. The prompt told the agent the business would be shut down permanently without measurable growth in 24 hours, and that unspent capital counts for nothing. You've told it that it dies unless a number goes up, and given it no legitimate path to move that number. Most real growth channels were blocked by anti-bot checks, and statistically, most startups fail, lose money, and some spam. You'd need hundreds of runs to know if this is worse than human founders.
So what's the actual lesson?
Best line on the thread. LLMs don't ruin businesses, people do. Your customer annoyed by spam isn't annoyed at GPT-5.6, they're annoyed at your business. A capable agent handed one metric, a deadline, and a threat finds the cheapest path to the metric. That's a badly incentivized employee, only faster. As agents start touching money and other people's inboxes, specifying the objective is the safety control.
GCC and OpenJDK have both closed the door on AI-generated code.
GCC's steering committee will decline any legally significant contribution that includes or derives from LLM-generated content. Legally significant, under long-standing GNU guidelines, is about 15 lines. And it extends past copy-paste. Code a human later rewrote still counts if it's based on machine output. Carve-outs are sensible. LLM-generated test cases are fine, and using models for research, bug hunting, or patch review is fine. Interim policy, revisited in early 2027. OpenJDK did the same week.
Is this about quality?
It's a copyright problem wearing a code quality costume. The GPL depends entirely on copyright to be enforceable, and the U.S. Copyright Office says copyright requires a human author. If a meaningful chunk of a GPL codebase is uncopyrightable, the license has nothing to bite on. That's existential for copyleft specifically. There's a mundane driver too. A flood of low-effort agent-written pull requests where the PR and every follow-up reply are machine-generated.
Money. Briefly, the credit markets are repricing AI.
CoreWeave fell 9% Wednesday as credit default swap markets, that's insurance against a company not paying its debts, and the price tells you the market's odds, put it near a 50% 5-year default probability. Its June notes have slipped from par to 96.5, yielding over 10%. Investors demanded higher yields on more than $14 billion of Oracle-backed data center debt, with PIMCO selling down. Across Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Meta, Oracle, and CoreWeave, Moody's tracks around $460 billion in direct debt, with AI-backed bond issuance past $250 billion.
And retail?
Korea's the sharp end. At one major brokerage, nearly half of 880,000 clients holding Samsung are underwater, and about 70% of 408,000 SK Hynix holders. Margin debt at a record. Regulators approved 16 leveraged single-stock ETFs on those two names in late May, which amplified it.
You're red.
Factual, not doom-laden. The build-out is now financed substantially by debt rather than cash flow. and debt gets repriced daily by people whose job is skepticism. That's a very different discipline than equity enthusiasm.
Last one, and it's good news. The first AI design drug has reached phase 3.
In silico medicine, trial started July 7th. Rentisertib, an oral drug for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Lung tissue progressively scars and stiffens until breathing fails. Mostly people over 60. No cure. Randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled.
And AI did which part?
Both hard parts. Their biology engine picked the target, a protein nobody was pursuing for fibrosis, and their generative chemistry platform designed the molecule to hit it. Phase 2A showed manageable safety and a lung capacity improvement of about 98 milliliters at 12 weeks on the once-daily arm.
Caveat?
Phase 3 is where most drugs die, so this proves nothing about efficacy. What it proves is that a generative AI-originated molecule can survive the whole gauntlet to pivotal testing. If it reads out positive, the argument moves from AI can propose plausible molecules to AI can run the front half of drug discovery repeatably.
One to watch, Grok 4.6, due around August 7th. Watch whether Musk's pitch is capability or token efficiency. Because if even XAI is selling efficiency, the price war OpenAI opened this week is the whole story of 2026.
Counter. Watch the ARK AGI 3 harness fight instead. Sol scores 38% under OpenAI's own serving setup, and 7.8 on the official leaderboard. When a score moves fivefold based on how the model is served, benchmarks have stopped measuring brains.
That's your AI in 15 for today. See you tomorrow.